their original base structure involves Chera and Bergeron. So they've won like that, and over the years, they've just been a dominant defensive team, right? Really stingy. Then now you get Krug that comes in, and then McAvoy comes in, and DeBrusk comes in, Pasternak comes in. So now there's a really, really strong skill level that gets injected to a team whose foundation was a very, very heavy, disciplined defensive game. So now they have both.
That is the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, Paul Maurice, speaking this morning as the Jets will host the Boston Bruins tonight, and it will be a tough task for a Jets team who's coming off a heartbreaking loss on Tuesday at the hands of the San Jose Sharks. I mentioned it last segment. What a three-game homestand gauntlet for the Jets that they're in the middle of right now. The Sharks Tuesday, the Bruins tonight, and of course the Calgary Flames on Saturday. And tomorrow's a game day against the Rangers, and we don't have a show on Saturday. So I thought a perfect chance to get a closer look at the next couple opponents for the Calgary Flames. And right now we'll go down the Great Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. Welcome back to the Steinberg Show. My name is Will Malton. A pleasure to chat with Jamie Thomas from Winnipeg Jets TV. Mr. Thomas, how are you, sir?
Good. Where's Pat driving around his Volkswagen right now doing something?
I don't know where he is. He's actually, I'll let you in a secret here because.
Sure, Ryan, I love this stuff.
Ryan Pinder, his normal afternoon co-host, is in Florida covering Jay's spring training. Steinberg's technically in Pinder's chair, and I'm in his chair. It's very confusing.
Gotcha.
We all love Volkswagen.
Moving parts, man.
It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mentioned it, quite the three-game gauntlet for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yes.
What a homestand in March. I guess for a team preparing for the playoffs, you can't really ask for much more. But take us back to Tuesday and that 5-4 loss of the San Jose Sharks. What did you make of that contest, and kind of how did that one get away from the Jets?
Well, I think Flames fans probably cursing at the Jets after seemingly they would get at least a point out of the deal or deprive the Sharks of a point. If they went on to win in overtime. But it's been tough for the Jets for two reasons. One, much younger team this year, so a little more mistakes the earlier part of the year. But two, the big reason, too, for their struggles, at least defensively, because you certainly wouldn't see them giving up five goals on home ice last year, is the absence of Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey. Of course, Josh, a Calgary native, one of the more unsung heroes on the Jets. And that struggle in their own end of the rink. So there were some pretty big grade A chances by the San Jose Sharks. A lot of shots coming from the slot, beating Connor Hellebuck, and it was a 2-on-1 late in the third period that could have been avoided had Nikolaj Ehlers not tried to force a pass across the seam, and to Andrew Kopp got poked away, and then the Sharks went the other way. So great play for Joe Pavelski to end it with just under four seconds left, and it was just kind of left a lot of people struggling with what just had happened, considering how they had just taken some momentum back, tying the game up late in the third period, too. So, tough loss, but as Blake Wheeler said today, it's better to happen in mid-March than it does in mid-April.
You mentioned Dustin Byfuglien. I was going to ask you about him at the tail end, but since you brought him up, the perfect time to chime in. What do we know about his status right now? Only 37 games played this year, and you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Whether it's Tuesday or any point in the time he's been gone, he really is a noticeable absence in that lineup. What do we know about his status and kind of how he works his way back in the lineup?
Well, slowly but surely, I guess, is the best way to put it. He was on the road trip with the Jets just were on last week and then came back home slowly but surely getting back into it. But the update we had, unable to push off right now. So they're trying, as Paul Maurice says, he's skating like a coach right now, which we all know isn't very good, right? So he is slowly working his way back. The best thing about this whole thing, though, is that the Jets still find themselves in first place in the Central Division, have two games in hand on Nashville, so there is no need to rush Byfuglien back. That being said, it's just he's a total difference maker, and Maurice mentioned this morning, the fact that he makes guys think twice about going to his side of the rink, right? So he's making decisions, making players make decisions, wondering where he is at all times. And another thing where they truly miss him on is on the first unit of the power play, because teams are collapsing down low towards Scheifele and Laine, and that's taken away that slot pass to Scheifele. Also, the seam pass to Laine for the one-timer, because they're you're not concerned about the big bomb from Byfuglien coming from the point. And Byfuglien makes very quick decisions when he has the puck left the power play. It is just a huge loss for him, and without him in the lineup, they did survive for stretches earlier part of the year, but they've really had a tough go so far going out without the big guy on the blue line.
Jamie Thomas from Winnipeg Jets TV is our guest on the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Jets will host the Boston Bruins tonight in the middle of a three-game homestand. What was the mood around this team today, knowing the way that that Tuesday game went and kind of escaped from them? What was the mood around this team's morning skate today, Jamie?
It's pretty positive. Again, I mentioned what Blake Wheeler had said, right, about this that meltdown happening in mid-March to mid-April. Also, I know the record doesn't show it, and I know I just mentioned the struggles of Morrissey and Byfuglien, but they have been playing very well. And I know their record, they played very well, at least point-wise, but there were some times where they lucked out in some games, won on some skill, which they have plenty of course, up front and back on the back end. But this is probably the best they played defensively. They played a long time outside the Tuesday game. They like where they're headed, even though they've left some points on the board. But I think they feel very confident because this is old, not so much old hat, but they went through this last year, had a very successful March and got onto a good run heading to the playoffs. So it's a very confident group. That's what they've been saying nonstop. Connor Hellebuck's numbers don't look as good as they did last year when he was a Vezina Trophy finalist, but he's feeling confident about his game. So I guess the best way to describe it is they feel confident and ready to bounce back from a tough result on Tuesday.
So that being said, I would imagine the group is kind of embracing all these really high-end teams coming into town because, of course, this three-game homestand and the four games to close out the month is Nashville, Dallas, the Islanders, and Montreal. So you're looking at seven playoff teams coming into your building in the month of March. That has to be something this team, I would imagine, embraces right now.
Yeah, you can go back to last March, too. They had a homestand of six games, and it was Boston, it was Nashville. L.A. and Anaheim both made the playoffs last year, so some heavier teams coming in, and that gets the mood going. And the Jets, for whatever reason, when with Boston in tonight, it just seems that doesn't seem like they're two non-conference opponents because the games get heated. Brad Marchand was talking about how the Jets have some guys like to run around a little bit, which I found ironic. I think he's going back to Josh Morrissey's hit last year when the Bruins are here in March. That caused a little scuffle afterwards. And, of course, Dustin Byfuglien throws his weight around quite a bit, too. So it gets heated between these two teams. And Paul Maurice says that's what gets the Jets involved. And games with the Nashville Predators seem to be out the best in the Jets. So, as you said, these games against playoff opponents or playoff-type teams are a good recipe for you. They had a really soft schedule in February, and I think these ones get you more in tune for what has to be done when mid-April rolls around.
You know, it's kind of strange, too, because you mentioned it a couple of times in this interview about, this team and what they went through last year and how that's probably helped them this year. I think the other part, too, is even though they've had a little bit of a struggle here in the last, five, 6 weeks, when it's just kind of been 500 hockey and there's been no real streaks either way, they are just kind of wrapping up for the playoffs, but how would you, I guess, describe the atmosphere across the city and where the expectations are around this team, knowing what last year's playoff run brought that city and knowing how the city rallied around the Jets? What's the mood as this team gets closer and the expectations probably at the highest point they've been since the Jets came back to Winnipeg?
Well, it's the same. Any Canadian market, any sign of a moving towards a Stanley Cup, the expectations go sky high. And I do remember Paul Murray saying in training camp, if the Jets don't win 10-0, people are going to think something's wrong. And I was at a breakfast the other day with Kevin Cheveldayoff, and he thinks, he hears people say, oh, they struggle or they just barely held on and in a one-goal game. It gets tougher. The Jets are no longer a secret like they were, I think, last year to a lot of teams. And a lot of teams are coming into Winnipeg bringing their best game because they know they have to do that to compete with the Jets. So that's the Jets are getting that Abe effort from everybody. So they're adjusting to that. They're a much younger team, as I've alluded to. And I think, of course, the addition with Matt Hendricks, who's 36, that kind of rounds things out a little bit. But a lot of guys are learning big lessons. Their bottom six isn't as veteran as it was. And you're missing a veteran presence on the blue line with Toby Enstrom, who departed in the offseason as well. So it's just a lot of learning lessons from players, younger players, that didn't necessarily have a bigger role last year for the Jets. But the expectations are through the roof. For the six previous years, the seven previous years, last 7 years or 6 years leading up to last season, It was a struggle here. So for them to get to the conference final, of course, everybody's ready. And they do have unbelievable amounts of talent throughout the roster and, of course, in the minor leagues as well. So I think people just didn't look to see the struggles that this team is having right now. But I think you have to be realistic how things pan out. It's a very challenging division. And, again, going back to my original point about the getting the other team's best, it's a battle every night for this hockey club, and I think it's just going to serve them much better as we get closer and rounding out this regular season.
Just a couple more with Jamie Thomas from Winnipeg Jets TV, Winnipeg and the Bruins tonight from downtown Winnipeg as the Jets try to bounce back following Tuesday's heartbreaker at the hands of the San Jose Sharks. I'm sure in every radio or any interview you do, Jamie, you're asked about Patrick Laine. 18 goals in 12 games in November, 11 goals in 57 games outside of that. How would you put into words the Jets' number 29 season so far this year?
The term I like to use is a lot of people expect Patrick Laine, who's 20, as you mentioned, to play like he's 26 years old. He's still learning about being a National Hockey Leaguer every day, and he's never had to go through these types of struggles. It came very easy for him the previous two seasons, 36 in the first season, 44 last year, and then it seemed like he was well on his way to 50. At the close of November. So he's working on the other aspects of his game. The funny part is whenever a great goal scorer goes through troubles, people don't think they're looking at the effort, right? The body language. Patrick Laine is the first player. If there's an optional skate, he's always skating. It's not like he's giving up on things. So I think a good vote of confidence for Laine is that Paul Maurice has him playing on the Scheifele and Wheeler line. And that line traditionally goes up against the other team's best. So he's having to improve his defensive side of his game. And we all know the saying, if you do good things at one end of the rink, things are going to work out for at the other. And he's coming around. It's been a struggle for him, but he's closing in on another third goal season. I think a lot of teams would take a 20-year-old player who's had three 30-goal seasons to start his NHL career. So it's a work in progress. He's going to come there. The light's going to come on again. But there's other parts of his game that Paul Maurice wants to see get better, and that's getting the puck out of his own end, also becoming a better defensive player in his own end of the rink too. So, and then again, I think without going back to the power play struggles, that ties into Dustin Byfuglien, and I think once he comes back, you're going to see more of those one timers that Laine rips off on the man advantage, and those goal totals should go up a little bit whenever Byfuglien gets back in.
I'm sure much like it is here in Calgary, you and your colleagues have a ton of discussions around what that next contract looks like for Laine. It just seems from afar, Jamie, that prime guy to sign for a 2 or 3 year bridge deal. I know that it can be dangerous if he puts up similar type numbers in those 3 years, but also really hard to predict what he might be in 5, 6 years. How do you see the Laine contract discussion?
I love this one because growing up in Calgary, I always remember the Brett Hull trade. So not that the Jets are even thinking of doing that, but this, you can't give up on this. And I think they're going to value it in certain ways. And the Laine camp is going to say, well, this is what we've brought to the table, this many plus goals. Not many people have done this before the age of 21. And so I don't know. I still think a long-term deal can be stretched out here. Patrick Laine has said earlier there's no discussions about the contract. He's not concerned about it. It's going to be expensive because the kid can score goals. So I don't know where they're going to – the Jets are up against it too, right? There's going to have to be some creative accounting going on here in the offseason. Kyle Connor's deal's up. He's well on his way to 30 goals this year too. So some very interesting decisions. Jacob Trouba's deal's up again. He's going to be still a restricted free agent, but there's some – big numbers coming that way too. So, and Tyler Myers' contract expires after this year. So some tough decisions to be made. There's only so much money that can go around. Of course, Patrick Laine is going to be a Winnipeg Jet, but I'm not quite sure at this point what the cost is going to be.
I know when Paul Maurice spoke this morning, he was asked about the NHL's playoff format, Jamie. The Flames in a neck-to-neck battle with the Sharks, of course, trying to avoid Vegas in round one. I don't know if it's the same intimidation of a St. Louis Blues in round one for either the Preds or the Jets, but obviously St. Louis has had a terrific second half of the year. How important do you think it is for the Jets to end up atop the Central when it's all said and done?
Well, last year when they went back and forth with Nashville, of course, for the top spot in the National Hockey League as well. It was about avoiding somebody, but the Jets got Minnesota. I think the Jets stack up very well against St. Louis. both. It's great that St. Louis is getting goaltending right now, and of course Nashville clearly brings up the best in the Winnipeg Jets. So I don't think they're if St. Louis manages to go on to win the division, which they likely could, and have a good opportunity to do so, then I don't think the Jets would fear running into Nashville at all. We should also not leave out Dallas, who's kind of coming up like gangbusters as well. So I don't think the Jets have to be concerned about whoever they get in the first round. They match up against anybody in the division quite well. But you always like to avoid that team that's playing lights out heading to the postseason. But that being said, I trust Connor Hellebuck more than I do Binnington and St. Louis or any goaltending situation that the Blues have. And again, as I've mentioned numerous times, Nashville just it's been an epic series between the two last year, and it's been epic battles in the regular season this year as well. So I think Jets would welcome whoever they get right at this point.
And I'm sure, much like any hockey fan, I would say that a lot of people in Winnipeg would embrace another Jets Preds round two matchup.
Oh, and anybody
I would take that in a heartbeat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. Yeah. When you're not watching the Flames, yes, of course.
Final one for you. We've talked around it, but Jamie, what do you expect tonight at in downtown Winnipeg as the Jets host the Bruins?
There's a lot of Bruins fans in Winnipeg, and I think that's the case across any Canadian market with an Original Six team. But it's Thursday. We're getting close to the playoffs here, so I think the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. You can kind of sense it now. People are getting ready for April. It was a little quiet in January and February, but the other game against San Jose was a boisterous crowd. There's good energy, as I mentioned, whenever the Jets play the Bruins because they're very similar teams. So I think it's going to be electric here tonight, and we're setting up for a nice Saturday matchup with the Calgary Flames here at Bell MTS Place as well on Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, of course. And so it's a good week. As challenging as these next two games of this week has been, it's already been good hockey. I expect more good hockey and even better hockey on Saturday with the Flames in town.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Saturday should be fun tonight. Enjoy it, Jamie. We appreciate your time on this Thursday afternoon. We'll let you get back to it as your game day prep continues, and I'm sure we'll chat in the future. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.